your independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. After a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Undefeared here, and declare your independence with me here in Stancock. We are now in Rimrock, Arizona, which is about an hour south of Flagstaff on your way to Phoenix, Arizona. This is, the Lord done wanted us to stay up north an extra day. We were getting ready to go, and the bus just didn't want to start because it was below freezing for a long I think I'll decline. So we had to put in the fuel filter, some gel, anti-gel stuff. Now, anyway, got it going. Held us off a day. So we're going, all right, we'll get new batteries and we'll upgrade this while we're here playing with whatever. Got some stuff done. Then this story broke. Ben Gordon did a piece on his, he has his own bit shoot, and he, done it a couple times, played with it a little bit. I got, something to say about something someday. And so he put that up, and then he had an experience that we're going to talk about today. And what it was is scary as hell, and the kind of thing that we've kind of been anticipating was already happening or is going to happen. And we're going to talk about that. Now, he's a singer, songwriter, producer. His music can be heard over at bengordonshow.bandcamp.com. bengordonshow.bandcamp.com. And he has a music video there that he did, Psych Ward on the Death Star, which was, kind of interesting, matter of fact. He posted a picture of the car, which we're going to have in rotation here. Now, these pictures of the hospital rooms and so on, just, stock footage, Donna just put up there, be cool. But his phone was lost. He just got a new phone. He's got kept the same number, so we're going to, put that out along with his email. So when I ask you for that, go ahead and do it, and Donna will type, get ready to put it into the thing, Donna, into the archive. So she's not going to be doing a whole bunch of internet over here unless she's on a different thing, because we're always starving for bandwidth. So we'll get that out there, because I knew that there's going to be everybody wants to talk to him. Now, after this, he's going to be doing Max Egan. Now, I'll see Max, next week when we go to Narcopoco. Now, Berwick, of course, have something to say. And, Luke Radowski, you hook up with, which gets you on Tim Pool. You've already done Peter Stew. Is that his name?
Stew Peters.
Okay, I was close. So, Stew Peters, we've had on the site quite a bit. And, there's other Mel Krell, wants to talk, which means, here comes Sam Tripoli. Tinfoil hat be right behind that, which means ripple effect, which means. So we wanted to make sure you got hooked up. We happened to be close by. We were then an hour away, and we thought this had happened in Flagstaff. We were in Flagstaff, so I'm going, ooh, we're going to get some. So this, we're going to tell you the story. If you have already seen us broadcast that on our email dispatch, if you're a subscriber, and certainly on Freedom's Phoenix, we're going to tell the whole thing. Now, he picked up his John Doe wristbands, that says he was born in 22. He's 100 years old. So you were going to go down as a 100-year-old COVID patient or something. And now he's still yet to get police report and hospital records. He needs an attorney. So we got, him hooked up with Mark Victor, at least his number and so on to contact. I told Mark, he might be calling you, and this is what's going on, and here's the video and so on. So like any attorney and anybody else, like RFK Jr., they're like, yep, show us paperwork, man. Yep. Let's see some papers and so on.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is help you get the story out. I haven't talked, we've just been sitting here getting the show ready and so on. I haven't asked him any details. I didn't want to until we did it live with you guys. So we're going to be yakking. There's the vehicle, you know, it rolled over. Then we're going to talk about, you know, what happened there and then what they did to you, blah, 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 blah. So this is what we're doing. We're here to help get you broadcast everywhere so that you get a whole bunch of attention on this, because this is what we have suspected. And whistleblowing nurses and doctors have come out and saying, look, this is just a money-making thing. And you have evidence of how you were treated and what happened. And it's amazing that you're not dead.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just, this is, so this is like Coconino County attorney. You should be listening to the sheriff's department. Somebody go secure an evidence. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? Oh, are you in on it? Are you going to do it? It goes all the way from the EMT. Oh, all right. So that's the story. That's what's going on. This is what we're going to be doing. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is, you know, get over to you, see if I can get this, you know, set a little better. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and put it on you. There's Ben. That's what he looks like. You know, peace out. All right. So go ahead and tell the people. Donna, take the here, maybe I can move it. I just want to get them up there. There. Okay, now you're prettier. All right. We're just doing this real quick. Come down, pulled in, went and got him. Guy came in, boom. Got to do it because you're busy, boy. You're going to have a bunch of stuff, certainly after this one, I guarantee it. All right. Ben Gordon, you did that video explaining what happened. Sent it out. One of my audience members, you know, participants with Freedman's Phoenix and our trip, sent that. And I go, well, get your ass on the show. He goes, that's not me. I just sent it of the guy. I saw. I knew you'd want to see it, but here's his email. Yep. That's how he contacted you yesterday. So tell us about what happened from the beginning. And, you know, don't leave anything out. We don't got to get all detailed, but I don't care. But, you know, I want to just set the stage, who you are, what was going on, how you found yourself in this position. Go.
Yeah. So I'm gonna back up even further than I have on my video and further than the other shows I've done, like Stu Peters. The night prior to the accident, let's take it all the way back.
When was the accident? How long
ago? The accident was on 1:30, so the day before would be 1:29. Saturday night, I was having a bonfire. It was more of a burn fire to burn the brush in the yard where I live. And me and the two roommates, grilled out, had beers, took turns playing music we loved, went round robin that way, stayed up until about, I would say it wasn't too much past 12:30, 1 a.m. I took a valerian root, which is a sleepy herb that has helped in the past, and I've been taking it all week prior. And I fell asleep, woke up at about 5 a.m. to use the bathroom, and noticed that my roommate was sleeping in a very uncomfortable manner in a chair. I woke him up, and I said, dude, your neck is going to be completely destroyed if you sleep this way. And he's like, oh, thanks so much. He goes to bed. I go back to bed. I can't sleep again. I took another valerian root and a melatonin, and then I slept for about an hour and woke up irritatingly again at about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. And I knew there were two beers left. I'm like, well, do I have to drink a beer to go back to sleep? Drank a beer, went back to bed. Waited. No. Drank the last beer, went back to bed. Fell asleep for about 45 minutes, woke up, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I took a walk, smoked some cigarettes. I'm like, the sleep's not happening. So at about 11:30, I went to Robbie's, which is right down the street from here. It's a burger place, pizza place. I ordered a beer. I was looking at the menu, and I became woozy as heck. I could not. I became confused, disoriented. And I had this grand old idea of, well, just go home, dude. Go home. Go. I never made it home. And as I would
How
learn...
How far away was home from there?
Half a mile. We passed Robbie's on our way here. Yeah. So I didn't learn until right before I got... Ernie picked me up that valerian root and any alcohol at all creates confusion, dizziness, etc. So that's what happened. I just figured this out.
Because all you remember at the time is that all of a sudden you're woke up and some EMT is, you know, there.
There's one prior memory to the EMT, and that is the impact and me watching the
world spin around.
Yeah, watching the world spin around and then looking at the all the glass spidered out. Now the side, you know, the driver window was smashed out. The passenger side was smashed out, and then the windshield was spider-webbed, so it didn't give all the way or blow out all the way. But all of my injuries on my, you know, all the cuts are from that glass. So here I am sitting on all fours, on all wheels. So it flipped perfectly. I don't get it. So I'm sitting there. I'm doing a physical inventory of my body. This works. This works. Things feel okay inside of me. There's a little bit of blood. There's no...
Do you have your seatbelt on?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was no gushing blood. That was clear. And it couldn't have been more than... I did try to get out, but the door had... The impact had...
Crunched it up.
So it couldn't have been 10, 15 minutes. So Copper Canyon Fire EMT is like 7 minutes away. So, and this is the main drag. It happened like just around the corner here.
Yeah.
So the next thing I knew, and the only person that I spoke to while I was in that car was not a law enforcement officer. Because why would a cop approach you first, right? They got to make sure there's no internal bleeding. It was an EMT, and he had in a pouch a syringe, and I immediately said, no. I don't know. What are you doing? I'm going to relax you, boss. You know, we're just going to calm you down. Into the arm it went, and out the consciousness.
Well, who says that you needed to be calmed down? I mean, what were you doing? Were you screaming or in pain or anything?
No, but you know how sometimes law enforcement will say, stop resisting, and they're just twisting a totally, like, noodle.
Right. That was SOP, man. Standard operating procedure. I'm going to give you a shot because.
Yeah. Like, for me to remember that would mean that I would remember other things. I mean, I was there. I was sitting there. I know a needle was coming. I didn't want it. But that's enough to characterize you as combative or not cooperating. But he got it into me really fast, and then the world goes black.
And then your next memory is what?
The next memory is feeling a sensation of brilliance, light, adrenaline, a burst from the inside out. And by the inside out, I don't even mean my body, like further inside than my body, like as far in as one could go. And I woke up and immediately grabbed the ventilation tube and slowly worked it from my lungs through my trachea.
Was it longer than you thought it was? I mean, you're going
way
like,
longer.
What the hell? Okay, so you're. Let's go ahead and walk this through. You're in a hospital bed. Is this like a little clinic? Is it a major hospital?
It's the only hospital in Flagstaff.
Okay, so it had a bunch of, you know, displays and beeping lime kind of white. I mean, what's it look like?
No, it was a very large room.
How many beds were in there?
One, me.
Okay.
This is bizarre.
Okay, so you're in the room.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, woke up in hospital rooms before, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, stories. So you wake up and you realize right away, I'm in a hospital bed. Did you realize?
There was no thinking. This energy, this plume of energy that came from the center of the core of the universe. Not only did I have the visual sensation of light, I had a burst of energy that was incredible. And it wasn't, there was no time in between this burst of energy and light that I went like this. I just knew where it was. I wasn't feeling.
Something's in your mouth and you're freaking getting it.
So what I do is I pull it all the way out very slowly. Cannot, like you said, believe how long this thing is.
Well, I mean, what does that feel like doing that? I mean, you know you're pulling something out of your throat.
It felt great because I was pulling it out. Also, reminder that who knows what's inside of my body.
But the first thing that came out was your ventilation.
Ventilator first. So then the next thing I do is I follow the tube behind my head, and there's a mechanical vent. I can feel a subtle pulse on the tube, mm-hmm. and blinking lights, and it's on wheels, and it's a box like this a white box with all these different controls. And
they need to use their ventilator.
LED. It was clearly a ventilator.
Okay. So then did you immediately go from that to what, your IVs?
To the IV, which was in this.
So you're just like going, and we're done.
I do have a bruise somewhere. Well,
whatever, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I go to the IV, and I slowly, you know, there's tape. I get that off, and then I slowly remove the needle.
Okay, at this point, are you totally disrobed? Do you have, you know, scrubs on?
No, I'm naked.
You're naked. Yeah, man, you're showing what's up. So you get this out after you've taken, you know, the ventilator out of your throat, out of your lungs. God, man, I can't imagine that. You're pulling that out. You get the IVs out. You know, do you stand up right away? Or
no, because then it was time for the catheter, which was the worst part.
Oh, there's a catheter. Man, what was this? The old movie Coma?
What the hell?
They got you. All right.
I don't think that you have a mechanical vent and a catheter for someone that they're planning on having there for a few hours.
What was. All right, we'll get to what they saying's wrong with you. So, all right, without squeezing me up too much, the catheter, you just yank and pull.
No, I don't yank. I slowly work it out. It's painful. I get it all the way. It's also longer than I would ever imagine the catheter could be. I guess it's going into your bladder.
Yeah, it goes right.
It's going into your bladder. So it takes forever, and I'm just slowly,
So how long is it?
The catheter was about this long.
Oh, okay, so it's less than 12 inches, you know, about or something.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, 12 inches coming out of your penis is 12 inches.
It's not going to happen with me.
Yeah, I'm a hit.
Yeah.
All right, so you're pulling that out, and that takes, what, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes?
I would say probably a minute for sure.
Really? Okay.
I went really slow.
Oh, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. Okay, so you get that out, boom, pops out, and you're going.
And I start bleeding profusely. That's what happens.
Out of your urethra?
Out of my, yeah.
Yeah, because it. Yeah, I'm
because sure there's a balloon. There's like a thing to hold it in place, and yeah. So I'm bleeding. I immediately look to the side of the bed, and my shorts that I had been wearing that day were there. And I'm like, oh, cool. But they were cut. They were completely cut off.
Yeah, they always cut off everything.
So I covered my area to stop the bleeding and to, you know, obviously cover my area. I went immediately to the door, which was about 20 feet from the bed. This room was huge.
Really? Did it have any other beds?
No. No other beds.
Was the hospital crowded at all, or a bunch of people?
I'm telling you, this didn't look like a hospital.
They go, woo, we going to make us some money. All right.
Yeah.
So you go to the door, you open it, and how far away is the closest nurse or the nurse station?
Another, I'm going to say 20 to 25 feet to my left. I open the door. I stand inside the door. There's the desk, and I go, why in the hell did you vent me? The staff is like, we've just seen a ghost.
How many people?
There were four.
Okay, so they got four. Are they all young, older, mixed, women, you know, men?
There were
doctors, nurses?
All the medical staff were women. There was a young-looking nurse. There was an older, sort of portly woman. Mm-hmm. And there were two young men who looked of Hispanic background, and they looked very young. I'm going to say 20s.
So you got a young nurse, you got a female, a Caucasian, I guess.
Yep.
And then you had two Hispanic young men.
Yep.
They're probably in their 20s or something.
Yep.
And then you got the middle-aged, you know, running what's what. You know, did she seem to be the one in charge?
That was the doctor.
Okay. Oh, she was a doctor.
Yep.
So you got a doctor and three nurses. And you go, why did you vent me? Who responded?
All of them started walking towards me. Sir, get back to your room. So I just held tight in the doorway, and I go, I need to know everything. Why was I in this vent? I want to know what drugs you gave me. And they're like, listen, just come back into the room. We're going to gather around. You only have to sit on the bed. And I'm thinking, I can overpower any of these people if they try anything. So I kind of lean on the bed. And once again, I'm saying, what is the reason for this mechanical vent that I was hooked up to? Does it look like I'm having a hard time breathing? And the young nurse said, you have COVID. And I said,
is that an excuse for everything?
And okay. I said,
you have COVID.
And I said, even if that's true, like you tested me with one of your little tests, that machine is for late stage. Nothing else we can do. Can't breathe on their own. Does it look to you like I'm having any problems whatsoever breathing? Silence. They're just looking at each other. What drugs did you give me? The young nurse, she's the only one talking. She says propofol, fentanyl, morphine. And I go, oh, propofol, the thing that killed Michael Jackson? And she was highly irritated with
me. So propofol is what? A muscle relaxant, a tranquilizer?
It leans towards tranquilizer.
Okay, so they're doing a tranquilizer, morphine, and what else?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl, man, what the hell? Okay, so this was...
I don't know if they were giving all of that all at one time.
It was meant to keep you under.
Absolutely.
So you, this burst of something, you know, you think somebody might have snuck a little something in it, or they turned the dial down, or you just came out and they freaked and went, what the hell? Dead man, not dead walking.
No. Nobody intervened other than what I'm feeling is just like a divine intervention.
Man, the Lord done saw fit. Okay. So, which is why we had to stay last night.
Yeah, no
kidding.
You know,
crap happens, man. You know, man, you know, a lot of times that people, oh, it's just, you know, I don't even believe in coincidences anymore. Okay.
Nope.
So what happened was, they're trying to explain this to you. You're getting more and more information.
They're not explaining anything to me.
Okay. Well, they're
COVID was the singular explanation.
Wow. Okay. So they go, COVID.
Yep.
You know, the last year has been like a joke with us. You know, well, how come COVID?
Yeah, of course.
Well, how come you don't have your permit, COVID?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's like an excuse for everything.
It's the new, my dog ate my homework.
Yeah. Right. So their, you know, COVID dog ate their homework. So
yep.
What happened is at some point you get in as much until they start repeating and go around and circle jerking. And you go like this. You go, well, I guess I'll just lay back down here and stay or not or what?
From the time I began pulling that vent out of me, I knew that the only thing I needed to do was get out of there. So I had asked several times for, I need to speak to a lawyer immediately. I want to see paperwork. I want to know what you gave me. Nobody offered any paperwork. No one explained any.
Donna, go ahead and turn off the generator. I didn't even know that was on. That's what that noise is.
You know, I said, obviously no surgery has been done. They're like, no. I go, there's nothing wrong with my brain. And they're like, no, you have a broken nose, though. You have a broken nose. And at that point, I just half believe that, but I don't have a broken nose. I never did, so that's a lie.
Okay, so you didn't have anything physically wrong with you. You got up.
You're looking at it.
Okay, so the scratch is a little... Okay, look at the camera over here. So you can hardly even see it. They're just like little bit of, you know, dark areas that,
yeah,
you know, you lacerated a little bit, no stitches. No,
it's like my face fell off its bike. That's what it looks like. It's just, yeah, all it's right. Fine.
So they go, all right.
I lost you.
Did the...
You just told me to turn the generator off. So.
Yeah, well, it's because the bat, just turn it back on. Yeah, what happened is, the power that powers this, and we I don't have the thing set right, so it'll come on.
Oh, there we go.
I'm, you know, buttons, man. We pulled in. We slid in, you know, get here, so we get you on by 3, kind of the last minute of,
yeah.
That's how everything is all
it's
the time.
Okay.
So what I wanted to do, you go through this process, you kind of evaluate, you know, who you're dealing with. You're not feeling comfortable. You know,
I felt powerful. I felt like I was in control.
Well, that's a nice feeling to have. So they're sitting there. They're on their heels going, oh, man, you know, the man knows what's up. And all four of them are in the room?
Yes, two of the women and then the young men were kind of standing more close to the door.
Okay. So were they like, you know, like a three-year-old caught with his hand in a cookie jar or something? I mean.
Well. Based on the lack of explanation and them looking at each other, yeah, it looked like you're busted.
Wow. Okay, so then you decide what? I'll just take a nap. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to call somebody. What?
When I realized that they were not going to give me any paperwork, explain anything, of why I was on the vent besides the word COVID. I continued to demand a lawyer. And at that point, a new person came into the room with a handwritten piece of paper, and it had my sister's name and her number. And they said, is this a good reach out person? Should we reach out to her? And I said, no, I just want to get out of here. So I was still John Doe at this time, tagged as Meadow-Meadow, 100 years old. And yet they found my sister.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. They wanted you to be listed as a John Doe, but they had called and talked to your sister and see.
How?
Now, where's she at?
She lives in Wisconsin.
Okay, so Wisconsin. So they're telling her, oh, yeah, we're saving his life if he's saved because of something. What?
Well, here's the thing, Ernie. They had 6 hours, if they had got access to her number, mm-hmm. to tell my sister or whatever that I was in the hospital. There's been a wreck. He's in the hospital.
So they didn't call her?
They didn't call her until I left.
What?
Yes, they did not call her until I put an adult diaper, hospital pants, a hoodie that they gave me, shoes that didn't fit, and I was escorted out by the two young men, and they told me how to get downtown. At that point, they called my sister, told her a whole bunch of stuff, that I was in there for a terrible car wreck, that there was no surgery, but he was combative the whole time, and that's why we had to intubate him at the scene. They said they intubated me at the scene. And I was airlifted, and that my nose was broken, and that I had COVID. But they did not tell her that I was on a vent for COVID. So my sister...
Well, I remember you said something sometime about a pancreas problem.
Oh, yeah, they also told her that I had acute pancreatitis.
Which is what?
Which is chronic pancreatitis is where you always have an inflamed pancreas. Acute pancreatitis.
They just threw something in there.
Yeah, because
there's no symptoms for that.
No. Well, if you have either of those, you're in pain. I've never had any pain in that area.
Oh, I see. So they needed to justify the morphine and the fentanyl and the blah, blah, blah. Wow. I bet every one of these things, especially the vent, comes with a price tag. Because ventilating, you know, we've found that it's some ridiculous amount. It's like
$39,000. Yeah. No, but that's just the money that's kicked back from Medicare. If you're on a vent for...
And if you're 100 years old.
Right. Apparently, you have to
I think there were some boxes being checked off here. You know, there's something going on.
Well, Brian from High Impact said that his understanding was that the $39,000 payout comes after 3 consecutive days on the vent. So maybe there's a chance that they just wanted to get that $39,000, keep me sedated, then wake me up. But I wasn't about to take that chance, and I didn't know that then.
Yeah, they're not giving you a cut.
No.
Nobody made a deal.
No.
You know, it's like chiropractors, you know, they have guys go out and have fake wrecks, and they do whatever, and now they're just, I don't know, they pay off the EMT or something? I mean, you know what? Because it seems like this started early. This started... You know, the guy walks up with a syringe and boom, you know, here we go. This is something, you know, when you do the research on this and you do discovery, what are you looking for? First thing, who is the EMT? You know, who is he with? What's their record? What's their record of treatment? How many people in the last year have they blah, blah, blah? You'll see a pattern. I guarantee it. You know, then you go to the hospital. Particularly that one older nurse, you know, how many people have they vented? How many people do they say had COVID? How many? Because all these small hospitals, we have in Navajo County, a hospital administrator, which is Ron Paul, revolutionary, we've known for a long time. She was the administrator. She knows what the incentives were, what they were pressuring to do. And she's like, I'm done. You know, this is not like it doesn't happen.
Right.
It's how much evidence you can have of it happening. And when you have it, who reports it?
Mm-hmm.
So when this happened to you, and I saw you did your video, which we'll talk about in a minute, I'm going, yeah, I don't think this guy is. If he's making it up, you know, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen anyway. So, I mean, this has been happening. And sooner or later, they're going to get somebody like you that gets a little blessing of the light and come out and go, oh, let me tell you a story. Okay?
Right.
So I'm with you, brother. All right. So you get out of the hospital. They take you to the door and they go, peace. Let me know how it works out.
Yeah, and the door, by the way, is a steel door. Every time you flash that picture of the hospital, just that stock, the word hospital, the word emergency.
No, you're in the back.
I'm in the back. Not only is where the desk was to the left when I walked out initially very dimly lit, I didn't see a semblance of it, like another bunch of rooms going down a hall at all. So these two young men point me how to get to downtown, and it's a steel door, and it's unmarked. And I walk.
What time of day was this?
This had to be about 8 o'clock.
At night?
8 p.m.
At 8 at night on what, Sunday?
That was Sunday night.
That's freaking cold.
It was very cold up there.
I mean, no, really cold. My bus wouldn't start cold. You know, this was down, 0-7 degrees that night.
I couldn't feel a thing. My intent was to find help.
Well, where did you go from there?
I walked to the very first place that appeared on my left, and it was a bar called Rendezvous. Mm-hmm. And there was a man standing outside of the bar having a smoke. And I said, "Can I get a smoke, dude?" And he goes, "What the hell happened to you?" And I told him, and he was kind of like, "I can't handle this, man." He's like, "Have a good night." So I go, "Do I go in? I look like a hobo. I have bloody pants on from my area and funny clothes that don't fit." And I'm like, "You got to do it." So I found a spot. There was like a couple here and like a couple other people over here and like several bar stools in between. So I sat. I'm like, "I'm just going to kind of stay away from people." And I was like, "Dude, can I just get a glass of water, please?" And he gave me a glass of water. And he's like, "What's up?" And I started telling him, the bartender. And by that time, a young gentleman slid over to me. And he goes, "Dude, what happened to you?" I told him everything, and he didn't respond for, it had to have been 30 seconds.
He had to process.
Yeah. He was like, "Oh my God, I think you're telling the truth." And I go, "Dude, I am." Now, this young man, not only did he get me home, which was here, an hour away, he got me a lift.
Really?
Yes, he did. Yep. So he walked me out when the lift came. He handed the lift driver $20, and the lift driver got me home.
So how old was this kid?
I would say 26, 27, 28.
You know, it just gives faith in humanity that, people got situations. I have homeless guys come up and they story of whatever, whatever. But I just need a cigarette and a glass of water is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
So they got you home, and that's Sunday night. And when did you do your video? The next day?
No. So when I got home, one of my roommates, who I trust implicitly, mm-hmm. he's a beautiful person, he was still up. I was so nervous that we go to bed early typically. 10 is usually lights out. It was probably about getting close to 10. He was up, the lights were on. I walked in, I go, "Dude, we need to talk, and you got to roll me a cigarette." I had no cigarettes. Mm-hmm. He rolls them. So he's like, and I tell him everything. And he both can't believe it and also can believe it.
So he has noticed you've been missing for a while, half a day or something. You're like,
I was gone all that day.
Okay. So this accident happened, what time at night on Saturday?
No, the accident was in the morning.
Okay, it was in the morning on
Sunday. Yeah, I'm guessing because I got to the burger joint right at 11 because that's when they open.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh, so just during the day?
Yeah, the accident was during
the day. Okay, so you go, you have an accident at 11, they put you...
The accident, no, because I was there for at least a minute. The accident, I'm guessing, happened between 11:30 and 12.
Okay.
Because on the Copper Canyon police site, they post pictures on their Facebook page. There's actually three pictures of my car. So if you search Copper Canyon Facebook page, that comes up first. At least it did today.
Copper Canyon Police Facebook page?
Copper Canyon Fire.
Copper Canyon Fire. Okay.
Yep. So there's three pictures of my car on there. And the photo was taken at 12:50 or something. But one of the pictures has the door, which was removed to remove me. So
they had the picture with you in it.
Yeah. So everything was done and I was out of there by 12:59.
Okay. So it's one, you wake up in the hospital, vented at about 6:50
is what they told my sister.
All right.
Now, when I reread, I emailed my sister. My family's not on board with what I'm doing with this, by the way.
Yeah.
They think I'm a conspiracy theorist, and they were helping you, Ben. They were helping you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the other day I wrote to my sister and I said, hey, is there any way you could tell me every single thing down to the detail that they told you on the phone after I left? And they said that I was extubated at 6:50 and that I removed my IV and catheter after. Now, when
they're saying they unventilated you.
I didn't notice it the first time I read it. When I read it again, I'm like, oh no, are they claiming that they were going to voluntarily take me off that vent?
After they put you on an hour or two before or three.
I bet it was. I had to be airlifted, driven to the airport or the launch pad here. There's a little launch pad. All that stuff. It had to have been only 5 or so hours of being on that vent. There's no way you would vent someone for 5 or 6 hours and then take them off.
Okay. So this is, you're starting to piece this together. It's good. And that's one thing, when you did your video, at what time? Sunday evening?
No. Sunday was the accident. I did it the 2 days after.
Okay, so this is Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So Tuesday, because I remember you saying, I got to do this because while it's still fresh, I need to, somebody help me because damn, And I don't know how one of, he goes by DC, I think. On Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Telegram that we have for the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't do a lot of social media. We're just turning on stuff now because we're going to be, being buttheads here pretty soon. And it starts with this. I'm going to say, because we've been squatting all these accounts for a decade.
Yeah.
Because I do the censorship. Until we had a place to where when we load this and we save this, it's going to be IPFS, which is Interplanetary File Sharing, where they can't delete it or censor it.
I never even heard that term before.
I know.
That's amazing.
They will now. So when we put that up, they can't censor it. Mm-hmm. Until we had that, I didn't want to go, we're here.
Oh, yeah.
So what? They'll just turn you off. We're here to let you know we're over there. So that's why, this is so important that we do this to go up. This can't be censored. It's not going to go away. So I want to get everything in, later they go, aha, well, you had this herb that, for sleep that messed you up, and you're a drug dealing, ne'er-do-well conspiracy, whatever the hell, which totally freaking doesn't matter, The point is, you needed help. They start off with a shot. He needed a shot because I say he needed to knock him out. And while you're knocked out, how many boxes can we check? Check, and they put you on a vent. So somehow, somebody messed up something, or, God done gave you the power or whatever it was. You wake up, take out your vent, remove your IVs, pull your catheter out, and bleeding, get something on, just get out the freaking door, let me out of here. See if they're following you, with a, tranquilizer shotgun or something, God knows. So anyway, you get out, you go to the nearest public space, there's a little bar there. You say, yo, what's up? And one guy's like, whoa, man, this is Pat. I don't even want to get involved.
Yeah.
And then you go inside, and the bartender listens to your story. A guy comes up, sympathetic, gets you a ride, a lift, pays the guy to take you home. You get home. You're telling your roommate and so on. When you did that, what did you do that night?
I went to sleep.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't sleep well.
Why?
I haven't been sleeping well since, actually a little bit prior too. Thus all the herbs that I was taking. I was taking it every night, so it apparently has a cumulative effect.
Yeah.
And then taking it in the morning and then trying to drink a beer. Yeah.
So here's a message. What's the name of this herb?
Valerian root. Do not mix with any amount of
it. Okay, valerian root. So this the moral of this story is don't jerk around with valerian root and you don't know what you're doing. Okay, so it's Tuesday. You get Monday, you kind of recover, you're just chilling,
Well, and I'm talking to my family, I'm borrowing my roommate's phone.
Ordering your new phone.
Well, I called the Yavapai, Sheriff's Department, which would have been the police. I said,
well, Flagstaff is Coconino.
Yeah, but the accident happened here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, I was curious about my wallet and my phone, you know, and they said that they didn't have it. But it gets weirder.
Phone gone. I mean, wallet and phone.
They didn't take it, right? They're like, they go, we don't know where it is. So he goes, but hey, we're not going to have a police report for a while. Because I was asking, I'm like, you know, how hard is this? He goes, I haven't even thought about it yet. Didn't ask my address.
Was he the guy that appeared on scene?
I never spoke to a police officer. An EMT comes to you first in an accident. The cops sort what happened out later, right? The first thing is, are they
directing traffic while they take care of you?
Well, the EMT visits you first. He's the one that put me out. So right. They claimed to my sister the night after I walked away that I was combative with police officers. But I never had an opportunity to speak to a police officer because the EMT comes to you first, and he injected me immediately. So there was no combative behavior whatsoever.
You know, this has been my experience in dealing with these kinds of things. You know, there's a billion of these over the years. And it always has a trend that the people involved have done this before. If they've done this the way you're explaining this, this is not the first time.
Right.
You know, so there's a record of something. And there's, like, names and there's people and they got their stories. And that's what Discovery does. It's like, so somebody is already being served up as a scapegoat on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guarantee it. So when you talk to Yavapai Sheriff's Department, okay, which has got their own history. I've been dealing with Yavapai County.
I know nothing about it.
They got...
But anyway, the person I talked to was nice. Like, he was cordial.
Nice.
Yeah, he was cordial. And he said, we don't have your stuff. I don't know where it is. And he's like, I haven't even gotten to a police report type of thing. And he said, but can you do me a favor and call the Flagstaff PD and cancel the missing persons report? And I said, there's a missing persons report? And he goes, yeah. So I called Flagstaff PD. And I said, I guess there's a missing persons report. My sister had filed it because she was worried that I was injured, maybe had a concussion and walked out of that hospital.
So the nursing staff is really slinging it to your sister.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you canceled that. They go, okay, thanks, peace out.
And that's it.
Well, I've got a missing person. Did they want to verify that you were the person saying you weren't missing? Or serial killers would like to know this process you went through.
Well,
he's not missing. I'm him.
So
pinky swear.
So it was yesterday that I independently contacted the Copper Canyon Fire because there's going to be another report for them, right?
Yeah,
so there's. They said that they were going to actually get a report to me. I asked if they had my wallet or no, we don't have it either. He sent me an email that said we don't reach inside vehicles. There could be
blah 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 blah.
So, but right. I went to the car, so it's time to go pay the tow man, right? So I don't want $35 a day.
Right.
So I finally get to see the car in person, and I'm fishing around. I'm talking to the super nice guy that owns the
scrapyard.
Yeah, he's great. He's funny. Like, he's cool. He's like, well, you're older. And so we're chatting with him, and I'm looking for my phone. Guess where my wallet was? In the coat, my coat. In the passenger seat, in the pocket, where you would put your coat if it starts to get a little warm. Oh, I'll take my coat off. The police did not take my wallet out of the car ever.
So it was just there in the car?
It was just right there in the car.
All right, cool. So you got the wallet there. You didn't find your phone.
No.
You know, it's slung out in the desert somewhere or something. So you got the... and that's where you would have put your wallet in your coat, you think?
I always keep it. Yeah, that's exactly where it was.
So you found your wallet. So you got that. You got the vehicle. Did you have it towed your...
No, we trashed it.
Okay.
So I just paid him to trash it.
Yeah, you just go here, get parts.
It was completely done. There's no glass.
Well, I'll run the slides here, and it'll rotate over the to the car, and they can see what it looks like. Now... All right. So then when did you do the video asking
for help? Tuesday morning.
Okay. So you did that. Why?
There was no... I had no plan. I hadn't thought about it before. I just did it. First try. No thinking. I don't make videos of myself. I made one music video. I don't do videos. But I Googled how to do a video on my thing, and then I slowly uploaded it. And then because I knew that, so I posted this music video like months ago, and it only had like 100 views, right? So I'm like, how do I get this out? And what I did is I went to Twitter because I have people, I don't post on Twitter really. I respond. But I have some people with really large Twitter followings that follow me for whatever reason. And I'm under 200. You know, I don't really deal with that either.
Yeah.
So I went to the analytics of Twitter. I found the people who had the most followers. I added them, you know, at those channels. And I said, I need help getting this out. And those channels with a lot of followers on Twitter were sharing. And all of a sudden, my Twitter blew up. And it was being shared everywhere.
And you posted this up about what time?
Probably Tuesday at noon or 1.
Okay. I don't think I got it until yesterday or day before. It was probably yesterday morning it made it to me. But when you did that, didn't you immediately start getting requests for interviews and stuff? Or did that wait a couple of days? Or
nothing took any time at all. So it blew up on Twitter. And then I started getting the emails started trickling in, but it was because it got shared on Telegram, Gab, Getter, things like that. Yeah. Apparently,
that weren't censored as much.
Right. So I'm not on any of those things. But
there's the vehicle.
Yep. And there's the shirt I'm wearing right now in the foreground. They put it back in the car for me. Apparently, pretty sweet. They thought of everything. No, so like my friend Kimberly sent an email and she goes, dude, you're everywhere on Telegram. She's like, hold tight.
Yeah. Well, how did that, you know, there was no way to get hold of you other than when I made a request. Well, how I get hold of this guy?
How did everyone get my email?
Hell if I know. They sent it to me, you know, and I, okay.
It's like everyone knew how to get a hold of me all of a sudden.
Well, it's the internet. And,
I guess.
You know, Liberty Community is a bunch of geeks that know whatever anyway. So, I mean, well, if you had it tied to your BitChute or your, I mean, they'll find it somehow.
I bet I had it tied to my BitChute.
Yeah, so they got it, and once it hit, it, you know, boom. All right, so then you do that, and you start, what shows have you done already?
I did Stu Peters today, followed by Dr. Jane Ruby. I'm doing yours right now. I have Max tonight.
Max Egan.
Yeah, Max Egan, the man. The only other two, there's been a lot of communication about when you get your phone, which I just got before you picked me up. So I've talked to a lot of initial people. I talked to Daria at InfoWars today. But they want a hospital report. Alex Jones is too much under the hot seat to take on anything that isn't verified. But the only other two that, besides Max Egan tonight, that are for sure are Andy Kaufman, Dr. Andy Kaufman.
Okay.
Who I really, really like. And then Jim Fetzer and his gang want me on the 9th.
You know, I'm an activist. You know, I mean, I'm a talk show host since 03, and I do, you know, publish a, you know, and paper, you know, stuff. But primarily, I'm a street activist.
Yeah.
So it's just that if there's nobody else covering it, I'll cover my freaking self. I mean, I don't care, you know. But the this smells so familiar, you know, of other things. And I've had to where people will contact family members and they want to get the story into your family first, the way they want to portray it. There is... I'm sure there's some fresh ink on pieces of paper all over the place. There's, you know, but for me, the primary question is, what were the symptoms, especially after you're sedated right from the very beginning, can't even talk to you, that a ventilator was called for?
That was my question.
And then the COVID diagnosis. And you weren't having any problems breathing. I mean, you seemed like you're...
No, fine. I definitely want to clarify that she did not say this sentence, the one talkative young nurse. Mm-hmm. She did not say this sentence. You were on the ventilator because you have COVID. I said, why the hell was I on a ventilator? And she said, you have COVID. It's about the same meaning.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, she didn't, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So what do you think is after you talk to Stu, you know, and you know, I haven't really given a whole bunch of advice or opinion yet or anything, but you're going to have some other people you're going to want to talk to. Your family and friends are talk to you. How do you think you're going to handle this? What do you think is going to happen?
You're asking me to make a prediction?
Yes.
This could...
One, what's your goal?
My goal is to get legal representation. A wrong happened to me. My rights were violated. I had unnecessary and very invasive medical procedures done to me for a guy who's walking, talking, breathing, and was before the accident.
Yeah, no, it's more, for me, is this indicative of other cases? People have died from this, and what's the future? You know, so this is, I mean, damn.
Yeah, so basically, I think what really needs to happen here is I need somebody with a gigantic heart that feels the story to represent me. Somebody that I need legal help.
Okay. Well, I suggest if we have time. Yeah, we'll probably have time if we got to go on with Max. And how are you going to do Max from your home? Zoom. Well,
yeah,
phone?
It's like Zoom or Skype.
Okay. So, and I'm sure he'll have some, but he's Australia in Mexico. So he's not really familiar with exactly how the legal system, you know, works here. So I'm not sure if he'd even want to say anything other than, you know, assume that it's true or at least operate from that and what it means. And he's been going through a bunch of crap in Australia.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is, I mean, he just left, you know, like days before they're looking for him.
I know.
You know, and he had a feeling. I talked to him. I had a conversation with him about less than a week before he left. It wasn't common knowledge that he was getting out of Dodge, because the way that he's doing, you got to get like permission to leave. And you know, Max Egan, I think Max is his middle name and Egan is his it's not his real name. Okay, so when he goes and gets, you know, permission to leave or your passport stamped of approval of, you know, you're not a slave this week or something, you know, it wasn't as obvious who he was. And then when he did leave and they're looking for him, they go to his sister, they go to his place. Like, where did Max go? He was here a minute ago. You know, then, and I'm out. Mm-hmm. Well, he felt it coming, so whatever motivated him to go, and he went to Acapulco, hanging out with Jeff Berwick, you know, until an Acapulco, which he's been at least 2-3 years. I've met him there a couple of times, you know. And so he's on the show regularly, you know, quite a few times, you know, we're friends. And so he's a good one to talk to, but he'll give you a lot more international coverage.
Oh, for sure.
You know, this is going to go boom.
Yeah, what I'm hoping legally, I think my goal is for that resource to come through RFK Jr. or the ICANN network, Dell Bigtree.
We know Dell too.
Yeah, right? And they've been in contact too, and so I really want to talk to Dell. I really want to get my hands on these hospital records, but I need legal representation. Somebody, you know,
this has been my experience, and the reason, you know, an experienced criminal defense attorney, and you know, he does a bunch of other lawyer stuff too. But he and I have been partners on the Freedom Summit. Mm-hmm. We know each other. He's running for U.S. Senate as a Libertarian against Mark Kelly and probably Ducey, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be, and he's, you know, hardcore leave me aloneist, live and let live philosophy of, you know, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And been there for these kinds of cases. And a lot of times, you know, people in this situation don't have money, you know. And if it's a real, you know, he gets some, you know, he gets pissed off and there's some evidence, oh man, he'll just take it. So that's what we need. Because the reason I'm saying this is because there is evidence that needs to be saved now, not later.
Right.
You know, this is they're redoctoring and doing and kind of, you know, smear the ink with your thumb. I mean, so this is, you got to get, and that's why I almost contacted Coconino County Attorney's Office, and you know, I could, you know, send this to them. I could be all activist and be a butthead about it, but it makes you, you got to wonder what side they're going to be on too. And this whole thing that they painted is that you're just crazy. You're a crazy man. You're a crazy man left and crazy man of crazy man, you know. And what they were freaked out about is that you set up and pulled all the stuff out and said, well, what up? And they're like, damn it. You know, we haven't had to deal with that before.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell to do now.
Well, and the other reason why a malpractice type person, you know, whatever, is important is because I think that if you showed up to the hospital records office with a lawyer and demanded, that looks a lot different than me sending it certified the other day, and they'll take their time and get it back to me. You know, if it looks like there's a little pressure right away coming from the outside.
Oh, no, after tonight, there's going to be pressure like you. And, you know, there's so many, I can go on and on about, you know, a conspiracy of kind of how things affect us with all our different ways to get and whatever I send an email and things happen, you know. It's just weird, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the things was getting the dispatch out that we were even doing this. It
right.
was, you know, no matter where I went, it wouldn't, you know, internet wouldn't, you know, go. I mean, we're talking like 30 miles of driving to find, and we had to do it in pieces, you know, real slow and stop and do. That's why we were right, you know, so narrow on the time when I picked you up. They wouldn't stop the dissemination of this kind of information, you know, to highlight what's been happening or could happen to others or to stop it. You know, they wouldn't stop that. That'd be wrong. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Oh, that would be wrong.
That'd be wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing surprises me anymore, but fortunately, the Liberty community has a lot of different communication vectors, a lot of different contacts. Oh my God, some people even do a paper, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's so which is why we're up here. What happened this morning, Donna, you know, all the way down here, all the small communities, she was delivering papers.
Yeah.
You know, just doing that. And then we met here at 2:30 to do the 3 o'clock with you. And so there is, we're not gonna let this story die, especially as evidence comes out, as we start to get, because it doesn't matter if you aren't able or they hide or they change every piece of paper, a document. Once this starts getting out, you're not going to be alone. There's going to be other people this happened to.
Right.
There's going to, if they've done this once, this is what I have always found out. They've done it before.
Oh, yes.
I give 15 gazillion stories of how they did it before. To the point that I've had internal affairs officers call me and say, well, witnesses say that the cops were screaming, stop resisting arrest, you know, as they were beating the crap out of him
the whole
time. And they did, and he did, and he did. And I'm going, and they'll go on about just exactly what they do with your family. And I go, let me tell you what I know. These officers, they've done this before. That's it.
Well,
you think I don't know this hadn't happened before? That's when they get nervous.
Well, and it's been proved since 2020 when the perspective on the pandemic documentary came out, and that nurse, Erin was her name, was filming inside Elmhurst, the epicenter of the New York kill machine.
Yeah.
And she documented that they were putting people on vents for just having anxiety issues. They fill them with drugs. Oops, your oxygen sat level dropped. Let's move them to a CPAP. Oh, more drugs. Oh, your oxygen's still dropping, onto the vent. And the only person that walked away in her little, you know, expose.
Guy that did what you did, pulled it out.
No, but he was an opioid addict.
Yeah.
He had a tolerance. Homie is not an opioid addict. I don't like opioids.
So I you know, whatever reason they screwed up or, you know, God gave you a burst of here we go. And it's like, and we got, you know, Liberty community and friends and Ernie's nearby. you know, crap happens, okay?
Yeah.
So this is my, you know, my only disappointment is that we weren't the first interview, but you got Stu Peters, so that's okay.
Yeah. He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, so he'll take care of business. Mm-hmm. But the I'm glad we did this. Is there anything else that you want to share? I mean, you're in the informative. I need to know what the hell's going on. They didn't tell me. They don't want to tell me. And nobody was ever going to know if I didn't do this.
Yeah. Here's my advice for everyone out there that's of like mind and spirit. To the people that you're listening to right now, be extra, extra, extra careful to never get injured for any reason. Be just extra careful, because I'm living proof that I got mildly injured, you know, in the long
hell, you look at didn't it. Get injured. You fell down, went boom a little bit.
Basically. But because I was put in a position where I could not leave because I was locked in the car, they plucked me.
Mm-hmm.
They plucked me. And it was very easy for them to do that because I could not move. And so do not get into a car accident. Do not drive if you're tired. Read up on the herbs that you're taking. Do not drink and drive. Do not mix things. Get rest and sleep, and always just be careful, because if you have an accident or something happens, they can pluck you, as they did me.
You know, that you even said this, it would be interesting. You're half a mile away from home. It was daytime.
Yeah.
It was an accident, you know, a beer and whatever did this. And how malicious they'd be. Oh, you're DUI. You're under influence. You admit, kind of said, we're going to get... be interested to see.
Well, they told my family I blew like three, or not blew, that they took blood and that it was 0.3 something. That's impossible. I sat down with the roommates. We talked about the inventory of what was in the house. They're like, no, dude, there was like nothing left. Like, there's no way. And also the blood test for alcohol, like a conclusive one, takes like weeks. So there's no way they could have had that number.
Who said you did 0.3?
Not only did that stupid nurse that did all the talking say that to me at one point, they told my family that. You can't get a toxicology or a, you know, like a the they don't have a processor for blood at the hospital where they can immediately know BAC.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but still, I mean, I'm you know, I'm wanting to see this. See, this is, I can feel it, man. There's just, you know, weird stuff going on, you know, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because when discovery gets going on this, it's going to be hard to hide, you know, if they've done this at least more than a couple of times.
I think the Achilles heel is going to be the time that they hooked me up and the time that they're going to claim that they took me off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no precedent for being vented for 5.5 to 6 hours. Hey, let's get that catheter in here. Let's get that. Let's get him vented up.
So we can take it out later.
Yeah, so we'll take it out. Like, clearly, all they had to do, if they needed to sedate me at the scene because of safety and, like, we don't want him to move, or I think that is done sometimes. I don't know. Let you come too slowly. Have someone there to tell you what happened. The good news is you're not injured, Ben. You have no serious injuries. You could have been killed.
You know, did they even take x-rays?
We'll find out.
I know. I mean, you know, if they got all this diagnosis, I mean, the first thing you do in a rollover car accident, you're taking x-rays.
They or an MRI or a CAT.
Something.
Yeah. They told my sister I did not have a head injury, but they said I had.
How the hell they know?
Well, I'm sure they, I don't know, but they also told her I had a broken nose. Dude, I can bat my nose. It never bled. It never.
Yeah, no. This is freaky deaky.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason it's so interesting at this point is that this ventilating thing, the incentives are so high.
Yeah.
And if they're doing this as just a, you know, whoop, we get to do another one. I mean, you know, and we paid our salary for this month. I mean, you know, we met our quota. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. If that's what's going on, and there's going to be evidence that it's already happened, and what will happen, even if they scrub the evidence, there's people. Well, maybe, hopefully, you know, not everybody, you know, just died, but.
Well, everybody's name that was present, except for the non-medical people.
No, I mean that, you know, there's been other people like you.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a track. I've been doing this kind of activism, this kind of stuff that's had, I give you all kinds of different scenarios, but. When it's government reports, when somebody has an incentive to either arrest, incarcerate, make sick, you know, whenever we come across this and we start digging, there's always a track record of them doing it before.
Yeah, of course.
There's never, like what you're talking about, you're not the first one. Certainly, a couple of years into this, there's a machine. You know, they got a form, they got a checklist. You know, and I'm glad that you did this, even if it's just for all of us to kind of, you know, because you stack up enough of these instances like this, and people check on it. You start to see a pattern. Well, I don't believe that person. 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 Kind of believe that person. Well, then they go back, and you start to find out there's a track record on some of the first people that, you know.
Well, you know, several. I haven't spent a lot of time in the comments section of things, but one of the things that I saw at least three times was like, no way would I don't believe this guy. No way would a hospital let you walk without giving insurance or paperwork or signing out. Hey, I agree, but that's exactly what happened.
No, I've been in situations, other people I've known, they go, well, you're not released and you can't. Yeah, well, I'm walking out. You could shoot me. You know, especially when people want to leave with their babies.
Oh,
they're
going,
well, they don't have a social security number or vaccine. I go, that's why I'm leaving, you know.
Right.
You can't. Watch, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. I a bunch of this kind of stuff happens, and so it's not like this mindset that once you go inside the hospital doors, somehow you're incarcerated, somehow you are a prisoner, somehow you have no free will anymore, somehow they can just commit you or something.
Well, people don't know the rights, but my sister, you know, who was the only contact that they called when I left.
Are you close to your sister? You talk on a regular basis?
I'm close to all of my siblings, but I'm the only one in the family that is like in your sphere of thinking.
Yeah.
So they're not happy that I'm doing this. I mean, there was just one or two emails where they thought that they had the sense that I was doing this to absolve my potential fault for a crash. They thought maybe that, you know, like you're just like trying to like get conspiratorial to put, you know what I mean? And I said, listen, there's two issues here. Everything's going to come out that happened with the crash. I'm waiting on that. I go, but I also, my rights were violated. I never needed a vent.
Yeah, it's worse than that.
It's,
I mean, this is like, this could be an argument made for attempted murder. You know,
except for you can't prove how long they intended.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care what I can prove. It's like I'm like, you know, it's a gut feeling. You're going, damn, especially if there's a lot of them. You go, all right, well, let's start in 2018. From 2018 to 2008, how many times has this happened? One, two, none. All right. Since, you know, spring of 2020 to now, how many times has this happened? Damn, we don't want to show that number. I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, it's going to be a simple, you know, investigation. Discovery is what's going to happen. You know, it's going to, and right now they listen to this, they're looking. They're like, damn. And all you got to do is look at their financials. And how much did you get of bonus payments from the man for blah, 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 blah. This happens everywhere. This is what the stories is. That's why it's so interesting. And people want to talk to you. Here's another, you're not the first one. You are not the first one. First one, you know, probably.
First one to wake up.
Yeah, to wake up and yank it out. Except for that, I know who you're talking about, the nurse in New York City. It came up from Miami.
Yep.
And she helped with this stuff. We know nurses that have traveled and that they make a lot of money.
She's in contact with me, too.
And good. And she was like, look, they're killing people with this venom thing. She goes, they're
this
making
is murder.
It up.
This is murder,
yeah.
She said.
So this is, you know, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just what they think they can get away with. Well, you know, maybe if you got a little bit of incentive here, a little bit of punishment there, a little bit, and a small hospital in northern Arizona, and they go, ooh, I know that gravy train, you know, we can do that. So, you got to be careful to say that's what they did, but you want to know. I want to know. You know, I mean, this is something that we should, you know, investigate. And that's why I encourage you to talk to somebody right away.
What was the name of the lawyer you told me?
Mark Victor.
Mark Victor.
M-A-R-C. And I sent you the information. But, you know, it'd be worth a call.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I just want – my biggest thing, I've worked with lawyers and with him in the past and others in the Liberty community. And a lot of times the first thing they do is to try and save the evidence. you send a legal letter, you are hereby don't, you know, destroy or alter, you know, blah, 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 something like that. That's lawyer geek stuff. But, you know, as first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I need this fast. I don't have a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
I'm waiting on you. It's called the phone. You know,
I just got my phone.
I just sent it to you, and you just got a phone, so you can just do it.
Yeah, as soon as we're done here, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap this up because you want to get that done in time for talking to Max. This is going to go global. This is going to be a lot of questions. It's going to be for, you know, selected people. You got the Yavapai County Sheriff's Department. You have the, what's it called, the EMTs here?
The Copper Canyon Fire.
Copper Canyon Fire. Are they volunteer or no?
That I don't know.
You know, so we don't know about that. Because a lot of these small communities are volunteer, you know, so.
I bet they are.
You know, God knows what's going on. So then you have helicopter.
Yep.
You know, that, you know, whatever, they yanked that out of the air. And then you went to Flagstaff and the major hospital in this region. And you go in there and. Were there a lot of patients everywhere?
No, I never saw another patient. I never saw another. Like I said, I was in a very large room. It was the largest hospital room I've ever seen.
Wow. You know, there's.
And it was long.
I want to see the financials.
Yeah, so it was long this way, but also deep. So the bed's here. The vent is behind the bed. I go up to the door here. Door opens. Desk is here. The room was like about that. Like,
so it was like a elementary classroom or something.
I would say about 60% of the size of an average elementary classroom.
Which is pretty big.
That's a big hospital room.
Yeah.
And it was in the back, and it was dark, and I didn't go through sliding doors.
Man, they warehoused you, man.
They did.
He's up! What the hell? You know, somebody got slapped for doing it wrong or something.
Like, someone forgot to turn, you know, keep the drugs in. I don't know.
Yeah, the button didn't get pushed right.
Right.
Wow. You know, Ben, thanks for doing this, making yourself available, and seeing, you know, what's your political bent? I mean, it seems like you know a lot of the same people that we do. You're on, you know, I don't know, do you live online or something? Do you, you're covering, you know, this COVID thing? I mean, what's your songwriter? What's your day job? I mean, what?
Well,
you know, why do you spend so much about this stuff?
Oh, because I spend about 3 or 4 hours a day, and you know, I woke up when the internet kind of I was already somewhat awake, but I woke up the very first thing that absolutely sunk my stomach to the floor. I had to sit down. Was investigating the Federal Reserve and how money comes into creation. That's what hit it for me. And then after that, you know, it was all the usual suspects like 9/11. And, you know, I started following the right people, kept up on it. I read a lot. Music is my passion. I definitely flavor, and there's themes, new world order themes, but it's not blatant. It's not like, screw the man. George Bush took down the towers. It's not. It's more artful. It's more like deeper and poetic.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily see myself as the type of artist that's like, hey, I'm an activist. I'm not really an activist. I tell people the truth to the best of my ability and what I believe in daily conversations and a little bit.
So
online.
You're not so silent, you know, semi-active share friends part of the growing majority out there.
Right. But I would say, like, I politically, I guess, if you can call it that, I'm pretty. I have a hard time finding anything that Larkin Rose says to not make true or to make sense to me.
So you get Max Egan. You listen to James Corbett.
Yeah.
You know, we do a regular show, James. We just did one night before last. And you know who Berwick is.
Oh yeah.
You know, Luke and Temple,
oh, yeah.
Those kind of guys. You know, you never heard of me, but, you know, we get that. You know, and so this is, you know, inside the community, kind of you ask for help, and, man, it kind of blew up for you.
It feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows what's going to come of it, but I know that I have connections now, at least, you know, so many people, not non-famous people, with amazing stories that I'm going to follow up with.
This is our big thing is not so much, you know, how big we can grow our metrics and so on. It has been to do exactly this, to document.
Yeah.
That's why we have the mobile studio. We went around the country meeting people in small communities that have stories like this all the time.
Yeah.
But they're never, you know, sat across the room from, give a mic, and just do it. And
right.
You know, and it flavors our understanding. And I don't want to, you know, because I don't see the evidence or know or whatever. You seem legit to me. And I know this kind of stuff's been happening all over the country. So when we had one local that I happened to have had to stay another day to do, I would have been gone. You know?
Right.
And this just coming around and the audience helping, you know, and you making yourself available and Donna hooking up. We do, it's kind of, it's why we do this.
Yeah, it worked out great.
You know, so this is good.
What time is it, by the way?
It's 4:39.
Yeah, so, I'm going to eat.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and, you know, get you fed and get you calling some people and, you know, and stuff. But I really appreciate you doing this because it's always this kind of information, you know, needs to get out, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that we know.
Well, thank you for having me on it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Ben. This has been awesome. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I tell you, you know, we're not going to leave you hanging. You got new information, you let us know. We'll get it out. All right, man.
I know who she is. Yeah, I guess. No. Oh, God. No, I've been following her for years. I have not seen her name come up in my, you know, it's overwhelming. I mean, it's filling up like every other Sunday. I would like to talk to Sherry.
Well, I don't know if this is Sherry's number or if it's Michelle Tavares. That's her.